100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the studio for 19 or long, so me say.
Hey, 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 it's Digital Sista, and I'm back for another episode, Digital Sista 45. Well, first of all, let me say hello to my new friends in the Czech Republic, and thank you to my loyal and dear fans in Denver and Boston. I really appreciate you tuning in and continuing to pass the podcast around. Well, I have some very exciting news regarding the podcast. This is just so phenomenal for me. Overnight, I had 169, yes, 169 downloads overnight. That is phenomenal. And I had about 30 more downloads today, so that's pretty phenomenal. It lets me know that people enjoy the commentaries I provide on Digital Sista, and that it's really growing and taking shape. And that's a good thing, because I've been doing it a little over a year now, going into my second year of podcasting. So I'm very excited about that, and thank you so much for tuning in and just, you know, making the podcast grow. Ooh, well, let's get right to Miss America, Tara Conner. Now, apparently, a girlfriend has just been having one hell of a time as Miss America. She's been seen getting tore up in bars. I think there was a little smooch with a Miss Teen Miss America in one of the bars, too. But she's just been having a really good old time, you know, and not making it to some of her appearances. Well, and then the other thing which is really funny is that she had this high school sweetheart, which she dropped immediately, you know, once she got the title. And, you know, she, because Donald Trump owns the franchise, the winner has a chance to have an apartment in Trump Tower. So I think this is all very heady for any 21-year-old, but girlfriend's been having a good old time. Apparently she's from a little town in Kentucky and has just gone hog wild. And to the, so much so that they had to hold a press conference, and the Donald had to have a conversation with her to tell her to clean up her act, and they're putting her in rehab just so she could get it together. And if they had snatched her crown away from her, then the runner-up was Miss California, who was, I think she's African-American. Her name is Tamiko Nash. You know, very, very attractive herself, but she would have been the new Miss America had Donald snatched the title away from Tara Conner. And it would be that old phrase that you hear, if ever Miss America cannot serve, you know, the first runner-up will take over, yada, yada, yada. Well, apparently, Tamiko's not going to have that chance, because they're giving Tara a second chance. And I think, you know, I think that's good that he's, you know, being considerate and just taking into consideration that, you know, she's a young girl from Kentucky, just lost her mind. So she's going to have a chance to kind of pull it together. And, you know, of course, she sobbed and cried, you know, during the news conference, and looked to the Donald and said, you know, this means so much to me. I'm not going to let you down. So, you know, let's see what happens, and let's see if she can rein in the partying, and if she gets through rehab, because apparently she tested positive for cocaine. So, you know, girlfriend's just been living up and having a good time. But, you know, let's see what happens. And remember, anybody out there who is a beauty pageant participant, remember, you know, if you get selected, there are contracts. It's very clear what your responsibilities are, you know, to that franchise. And, you know, you have to kind of stick with the contract, you know. Don't risk a fabulous opportunity like that, that you can parlay into pretty much anything. I mean, look at past Miss Americas, you know, Vanessa Williams, who's now a great singer and actress. You know, she had a little scandal back in her day, but, you know, she bounced back. And we have, even if you go back further, oh gosh, I can't even think of her name. We had Phyllis George. She was a Miss America. She was an NFL announcer for a while. And there's another one who, she was the secretary on Barnaby Jones. I can't think of her name. It'll probably will come back to me. But she was a former Miss America, too. So, you know, you can have a pretty long career if you play your cards right and do some good things with the opportunity that you're given to even have that kind of a title. So I'm hoping that, you know, she gets it together and, in fact, that she doesn't let the Donald down. But, hey, girlfriend's been having a hell of a good time. Oh, now check this out. This is very interesting that, you know, who would have ever thought that Snoop, you know, Mr. West Coast Gangster, and Diddy, Mr. East Coast Gangster, would come together and go on a tour. So you have to think that Biggie and Tupac must be looking down, scratching their head, going, what's up with this, you know? It's almost like, did we die in vain for some phony East Coast, West Coast nonsense that, you know, 10 years later, here, two of the biggest names in East Coast and West Coast rap are coming together for a European tour. And apparently, Diddy and Snoop are going to kick off an 18-city tour through Europe, which is going to start March 12th in Oslo, Norway, and it's going to wrap up April 2nd in Nottingham, England. So, I mean, I think the people over in Europe are, like, really, really lucky that they're going to have a chance to see this show. Because it's going to be going all over Europe, you know, Brussels, Amsterdam, London, Wales, Scotland, Germany, a couple cities in Germany. So, I mean, and Copenhagen in Denmark. So, I mean, I think it's just wonderful. And, you know, it kind of speaks to, I think, the nature of the industry, because I think they probably would have a tough time putting together that kind of tour here in the United States, because as we know, a lot of the tours, rap tours, don't do so well because very often they end up with some kind of violent scene or some fight or whatever. So unfortunately, fans in the States are not going to have the chance to see some of their favorite stars, because it's probably very tough and the insurance and all that you have to do to get a venue to play in the U.S., but they're going to be playing in, looks like, some big stadiums in Europe, and it's probably going to be packed, and probably they'll have some good shows without incident. So, unfortunately, it looks like if you're a Snoop or Diddy fan, you're going to have to get a plane ticket and try and get over to Europe sometime in the spring so you can catch up with them. But I hope that they, and I'm sure that they will record it, and there probably will be some kind of DVD out that kind of highlights the tour. But I say, hey, that's great. And I hope at some point that they can come together and maybe do some kind of tour in the States and hope that there won't be any problems, because that's the problem, you know. Nobody wants to take a chance on having a rap venue in their particular venues because of sometimes the violence that goes on around it. So I'm hoping that, you know, the stars don't always have to run over to Europe to have shows without incident, that they ultimately will eventually be able to play some really good venues in the States. But hey, I'm just glad that they're out there doing their thing. That should be pretty, pretty cool. Now, I'm really excited because it looks like there's going to be a long-planned biopic about funk pioneer Rick James. And the interesting thing was Rick wrote about 400 pages of a memoir that he turned over to his people before his death in 2004. And the estate of Rick James' estate has been, you know, in negotiations with several, entities who want to produce this film, this biopic, but they just don't want any old thing, you know, the rags to riches to drug story. They really want a story about Rick James, who was really, he really was a gifted musician who married the styles of funk, rock, and sex, and he partied with just about everybody you can imagine because, you know, he'd been around for a long time. And remember, he's got his start very early with Neil Young, and I believe it's called the Yardbirds, something like that. So, you know, he had been on the scene for quite a while and started off with some unlikely people that you never would have thought about. And so it'll be really cool to, I guess, see a film based on what he wrote and what he felt about his life and his whole influence with music. And apparently he had a beef with Prince, which I don't think a lot of people knew about, because he kind of felt that Prince kind of ripped off his act in some way. And again, you know, Prince has been around almost 30 years himself too. So, you know, it's kind of interesting how, you know, the egos come into play and how some people think that, you know, a particular artist may have ripped off part of their act. But, you know, really, if it all has to be said and done, I'd say Prince, maybe a little bit of Rick James. I mean, really, they both ripped off, if we have to go back, to Little Richard, because Little Richard was the one who married, you know, gospel, funk, and rock and roll. And he was flamboyant, and the outfits and the hair. I mean, if anything, they sampled a little bit from Little Richard. So, you know, it's kind of interesting how the Eagles come up and people try to blame other people for stealing their act. But I think that's going to be a hell of a movie, and it will be very interesting. And I love the fact on Busta's new CD, he's got a tribute to Rick James called Ghetto Life, where, you know, Rick just sounds so good. You just feel like you're watching him in the studio, and you miss that voice. You know, we miss the old funketeers like Barry White and Luther and Rick James. You know, they all left us way too soon and in their 50s. But we miss that. We miss that strong male voice and that funk, you know. So I think it'll be really great. And, you know, pick up Busta's CD if you want to hear a great tribute, a musical tribute to Rick with the song Ghetto Life. And he even puts in that last bit. Remember when Rick was on the BET Awards, and I guess it was some little young thing didn't recognize him or didn't give him the respect that he truly felt he deserved, and he said, "Never mind who you thought I was, I'm Rick James, bitch." And, you know, and that was his mark, I think, that everybody remembers to this day and keeps them giggling. But that was included on Busta's CD. So this will be really cool to see what Rick has to say about his life, you know, and we can learn a little bit more about him. So I can't wait to see that when that finally happens. Oh, and Usher, he's doing some really, really interesting things. He's opening up a wine bar in Atlanta called The Grape, and it's going to be the first of what he hopes to be will be a chain that will open in New York, L.A., and Vegas. And he's kind of following footsteps like Jay-Z, who has a couple of, you know, sports clubs and Jersey and things like that, sports bar, whatever you want to call it. But I think it's great that that many of the young rappers, the ones who are business minded and entrepreneurial, are doing some other things to have some longevity with their career, which is outside of entertainment. Because, you know, eventually, you know, I mean, let's look at Usher. He popped on the scene a couple years ago, and he's doing other things now because he's getting older. And that's what you have to do. Because look at 17-year-old Chris Brown. He is all the reflection of Michael Jackson and Usher, and he's just 17. So, you know, the older folks have to be doing some other things to keep themselves, you know, in the industry and in the limelight. So, you know, kudos to him for doing something a little different and doing something, I think, probably which is a little bit elegant. And it'll be interesting to see how his grape chain, The Grape, will grow. So that's pretty neat to see that he's doing some interesting things. Oh, wow. Let's see what else is going on. Oh, yeah, check this out. Mary J. Blige, who I just totally adore. And, you know, she has evolved into such a wonderful artist, because, you know, she was a little rough around the edges when she started. She's kind of like wild, like Miss America, you know, not showing up for interviews, and she would always be high, a little bit drunk and everything else. But over time, she matured, and she really realized that, you know, she couldn't behave like that if she really wanted a career. Because when you don't show up for appointments, it's not just about you. It's about all the other people who've made arrangements to have you there at a certain time. So when you don't show up, you mess up a lot of people's schedules, and it leaves a bitter taste in everyone's mouth. But, you know, she's come out and kind of spoken out about Britney and Nicole Richie, and she's, I think, being very supportive, and she's bringing some maturity to the situation. And like she said with Britney, she said, you know, everybody has. We've always, many of us have always been in situations where we thought that the person we were involved with loved us, but you really come to find out that they really didn't after all. And you kind of deal with the hurt and the depression and all those emotions that come with that. And I think that's what Mary J. has seen with Britney. Despite the fact that she's a celebrity and has all the outer trappings, you know, she's still a young woman with feelings, and, you know, makes mistakes like everybody else, and fell in love thinking that perhaps this was going to be a good thing with K-Fed, but, you know, it didn't seem to turn out that way. So she is really experiencing, I think, what a lot of women experience, but it's just we see it more because she's a celeb and it's played out in the media. So she's probably going to bounce back okay. It'll just take a little bit of time, and you know, hopefully she will bounce back and get her career back on track the way she wants it, and be, I think, probably the good mom that she has every intention of being. So we just have to give her a little time and be patient with her, and just you know, be supportive of her as she kind of puts her life back together after a broken marriage. So it looks like Star Jones seems to be slowly coming back onto the scene and finding her way, you know, ever since being basically, you know, thrown off The View by Barbara Walters. She's going to be making her radio host debut, hosting the Michael Eric Dyson Show, which I think will be very interesting. Because remember, Monique was filling in for Michael Bazin while he had that little hiatus as they were working out his contract. So, you know, it's good to see that she's bouncing back, and it sounds like she's had a dose of humility ever since being thrown off The View. And I think she's beginning to find her niche and how she wants to use her celebrity. And it seems to be that she wants to do some things that focus some issues that are relevant to African Americans, not just the really tragic things, but just to bring other information that, you know, we don't always get to hear in the media. I mean, that's why I do Digital Sister, because we don't get to hear commentary and reflections very often from African-American women in the media. So it'll be interesting to see how she continues to rebuild her career and make the moves that's going to ultimately, I think, get her where she wants to be. And it may take a little time. It may not take as long as she thinks, but ultimately she's probably going to come out very well, and she may be, I think, a better person, certainly a more humble person than she was when she was on The View. So, you know, I say good luck to her, and I hope that she continues to find things that work for her. Well, I'm so excited about Will Smith and his movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, that he's doing with his actual real-life son, Jaden, because in this time when so many African-American men are falling prey to, you know, shootings, it's good to see a film, and I have to see it myself, but it's good to see a film that portrays an African-American man, you know, really struggling against great odds to keep his son, who was 2 at the time, and to really build their life as a team together. Because, you know, you know, we see so much that too many men, and could be African-American men, are not doing what they should do, even when they don't even have the same circumstances that Chris Gardner had to face, you know, being homeless, living in the subway stations in San Francisco in the bathroom, having, you know, the prostitutes watch his kid while he had to go out on interviews and do what he had to do. He had the challenges, but he really stuck with his dream and didn't get sidetracked. And today, you know, here's this wonderful movie about this man who actually has turned out to be a multimillionaire stockbroker. So I think good for Will Smith that he's doing some interesting roles, and he's not getting typecast in particular types of movies, because he is producing and doing other things. So he's being smart. He's you know, buying the rights and producing his own movies. He's just not waiting for Hollywood to find him some little movie to put him in. I was getting worried a little bit, you know, with some of the movies he was doing. But there were blockbusters like Men in Black and things like that. But I think it's a process, and, you know, you have to do some things that you maybe don't want to do in order to build your career and then to generate the resources that you need so that you can ultimately, you know, be an actor, but you can also wear the other hat as the executive producer and start making the movies that you want to make. And I say kudos to him, because unfortunately there's too many African-American actors, and I think just actors of color in general, who are still waiting too much for Hollywood to find something for them, and it's just not there. So, you know, what you have to do is get together, or at least utilize your resources to the best and start making your own movie so that you can keep your career going. You know, that's the case, I think, with a Janet Jackson. She clearly wanted to do more movies, but for whatever reason, instead of her using those skills that she uses to put together her great videos from the past, you know, she could be doing that and making her own movies too, finding her own projects. And I just wonder why they are not doing that. I look at Halle Berry, you know, how many actresses for years were trying to get the Dorothy Dandridge story, you know, because that was going to be everybody's career maker, you know, Diana Ross and everybody else, but it never happened. It was Halle Berry who, you know, took her own money and executive produced this show, and it won her quite a few awards, you know, but she had to take matters into her own hands. So I guess what I'm saying is I hope more African-American actors and rappers who have the desire to be in film will not just wait for Hollywood to come to them, but that they will begin to talk to each other and work together and perhaps, you know, build something together so that you continually work. I mean, that's what David Geffen, Steven Spielberg, and Jeffrey Katzenberg did a couple of years ago. They got together and formed DreamWorks. I mean, they have since sold it, but nevertheless, they wanted to do something a little different in the industry, and rather than wait for the industry to come to them, they created something to compete, and they did so, you know, for a little while. So I'm hoping that more African-American actors will do the same, and that they will look at Will Smith and what he's doing, and that they will do it too, because we need more stories. We need a plethora of different types of stories and different types of films to be made. You know, we need to see more than just the shoot 'em up and bang bangs. We just need to see a better representation of different types of characters, everyday types of characters, you know, that would be nice to see on the screen. Doesn't always have to be a big shoot 'em up. So I think congratulations to Will. He's doing wonderful things, and I hope that he will continue to do wonderful things. Let me talk a little bit about, before I even get to this last little bit of the podcast, I'm preparing to go on a trip to Africa. I'm going to Ghana in February, so I'm just so excited. And I just got my shots last Thursday, because you have to get, you know, a lot of shots. But I'm just so very excited because it's going to be, I think, a closing, a feeling of wholeness that I can't wait to experience, because I went to school in Shaker Heights, and it was predominantly a Jewish suburb. And I remember in junior high school, you know, going to school with a lot of Jewish kids, that, you know, they would talk about going to Israel and talk about different things that, you know, was part of their heritage and culture. And, you know, you listen to the stories, and for very often, sometimes kids of color, there's a little gnawing inside of you, because you very often can't trace things back that far. You can trace, perhaps you have some relatives who, you know, were from the South and came from the South, but unless you are able to travel to another country, very often that's a little piece of you that's missing. So for me, I'm just so thrilled that I'm having the opportunity to go and see. And I think that's going to be something that kind of makes a little closure for me, that I will be able to go to a continent and go to a country where probably my ancestors, you know, were taken from and brought to the United States, you know, as slaves. So it's going to be very exciting, and I'm sure very emotional to go there. I can't wait to see the slave castles and just to see African culture, really, because we read about it, we see things on the news, but it'll be just a wonderful experience to see that firsthand. So you can believe that when I go and come back, I'm going to talk about it with you and share the experience with you. And in fact, I had some twins from Ghana who emailed me about a year or two ago, and they came over to the United States and I had a chance to meet them. So I'm having the chance now to email them to let them know that I will be coming to Ghana in February. So I hope that I have a chance to get to see them. But I'm going to keep you posted on that. It's going to be a very exciting and emotional experience. Well, you know, the season is a time for charities to really hope that they will pull in some money through their websites with donations. And a lot of the old traditional charities are really modernizing and putting their symbols on the website. And one that I'm talking about in particular is the Salvation Army. We all know that red kettle, and we all know that bell that we start to see, you know, I think around Thanksgiving and throughout the Christmas season to generate donations. And so they're going high tech even and putting the red kettle on the website. And a lot of charities are now really looking to their websites as a tool for generating extra donations. And I will say, for us at the United Black Fund, we have online donation capability using Network for Good. And it took us about 3 years to start getting online donations, and now we are getting it's wonderful. It's an anonymous donor who every month for the last 3 months so far is donating, making a nice donation to us every month. And it's very exciting when that happens, and I know that we have that one, more will come. So I would say to nonprofit organizations, if you don't have a website, 2007 will be the year for you to get one. And it doesn't have to be a real elaborate one with all sorts of bells and whistles. It can be just a simple website to get you started and to let other people know that your organization exists. And then one of the next things you'll want to do is add some kind of online donation capacity to put on your website so you can accept donations. And there are a number of online organizations that will manage that for you, who do it for free. We use Network for Good. They're very good. They're very responsive. You get an email when you get a donation, and if you have a question, you can email them, and they get back to you certainly within an hour or two, which is really quite interesting. And they are just very helpful and been very, very good. So we're very happy with Network for Good as our online management capability to use that. So I would say for nonprofit organizations, if you don't have a website, make 2007 the year to get one. And I would also recommend that you visit and check out my talk show, Demystifying Nonprofits, on www.globaltalkradio.com, and scroll down and just listen to some of the shows, because it will give you great information about some of the things that you need to think about and consider as you're growing your brand with your nonprofit organization. And speaking of that, on January 16th, I'm going to be doing a special case study branding show on my show, Demystifying Nonprofits, and we're going to be talking about just that issue. We have a case study, and we're going to be talking about issues of branding with four organizations that we selected. But I invite you to tune in, because branding is one of those important issues that not everybody understands, but it's something you really have to learn how to understand if you want to cut through the clutter and ultimately get people to know what your organization is all about, and ultimately so you get donations. So in any event, I think this is it for now. I hope that you have a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. And I hope it's a year that you will reflect on the good things that have come to you, and try not to really think too much about the bad things. But think about the blessings that you have had, and think about the blessings that we have living in this country. We really are very fortunate, and we take it for granted, and we shouldn't. But in any event, I hope you have a very happy holiday season, and thank you so much for making Digital Sister a growing and interesting podcast to people. And thank you for listening, and I appreciate it, and just keep passing it around. If I can get 169 downloads overnight, I can get 200 and 300. So we're going to keep working on that number. But anyway, have a great week, have a great holiday, and I will be back to you in a few days. Digital Sister signing out. West side, the West side, we're riding. West side, the West side, the West side.